response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
We are back, and we are at it on a Thursday. He's Mac Morey. I'm Bob Fesco. Dusty is on vacation. If you're just waking up, just joining us, the Chiefs will now be playing on Thanksgiving night in Buffalo, baby. Here's a tweet from Warren Sharp at Sharp Football. You follow old Warren out there, Mac? Do you know Warren Sharp?
Oh, yeah. Love Warren. Sometimes. He's really smart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt. No question.
Sometimes he posts bait, but he's really smart.
Yeah, but this is a good tweet.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to your family before Thanksgiving, the most deadly serious Thanksgiving slate I've ever seen. This is ridiculous.
Seriously.
And it is.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Right. I mean, it starts Thanksgiving Eve, Green Bay in L.A., and that could be seeding playoff type thing that late in the season. But Thanksgiving Day, this is the best slate of Thanksgiving games that I've ever seen, and I am excited about this. You start with the Bears versus the Lions, 1 o'clock Eastern time, noon Central. That's a great way to start your Thanksgiving Day. Then it rolls into Cowboys and Eagles, 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central, Eagles at Cowboys. And then we finish it 8:20 Eastern, 7:20 Central, Chiefs at Bills on Thanksgiving night. What's better than that?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. And I'm going to have to talk to my whole family and say, listen, guys, maybe we do Thanksgiving on the Wednesday or something, because this is going to be so much good football. I really don't know how this. I mean, there's obviously one of those six teams won't be what we think.
No, sure. You're absolutely
there's
right.
One
about that.
Game
Buffalo.
That's going to be a let. Hey, it could be.
It could be. No, it absolutely could
it
be.
Could
there's
be.
A new
that
head
is a
coach.
Real. That it,
tell me why you think that.
I mean, what team has had more drama and negative newsworthy articles come out about them other than the Bills over this whole thing, not only with the Brandon Bean saga, because the Brandon Bean saga, that's now long ago. It's a couple months ago. We've forgotten about it. That was huge. That was massive. Him getting to keep his job, and then Sean McDermott getting fired, and then them promoting an offensive coordinator that was already there. So you're not actually changing any of the regime or changing anything, even though you said as the GM, Brandon Bean, that everything needed to change, but you're keeping it in. Such a weird situation over there in Buffalo. And then you add on to the fact that from a roster
they
perspective,
probably, can I just jump in real second? Yeah. I want to get your second thought. They probably thought they wanted a real change. And then when they fired their coach, anybody that they wanted to hire went, why would you fire this guy?
That?
I'm not going to work for this place.
And you've got,
you can't be Patrick Mahomes. So you lose your job.
Terry Pakula, you know, standing by Brandon Bean. And then I think you're right. I think they make that decision. Then they see the aftermath and they go, oh man. Yeah. Okay. Maybe we just keep it with Ken
Dorsey.
Well,
that's the problem when you fire your coaches, you know, it's like everybody wants coaches fired. Everybody wants this guy gone. Okay. Who are you going to replace that guy with? You fired a good coach. And I'm not arguing that Sean McDermott, like maybe the message did get stale.
Sure.
But you also have to understand that this is a very close knit group of guys that are in the league. Coaches, for the most part, there are some that obviously hate each other. We're not going to, you know, mince words on that one. But for the most part, all these coaches are looking at each other and they just wanting to stay employed because they know how valuable these jobs are. And so when you do what Sean McDermott did in Buffalo and you win at the clip that he did, and the only thing you couldn't do legitimately was beat Patrick Mahomes, right?
Yep.
That's really, and they, I know you lost to Denver and that may have been the breaking point for the owner because Mahomes wasn't here and you still lost in the playoffs. And so maybe you did that. But the perception is Buffalo wins all the time and they fired their coach. What's the expectation like going to be for me if I take this
job? Yeah.
You know?
One of the better teams in the conference these past few years, and you're firing your coach?
Yeah, you're firing your coach after that. But again, I understand why you maybe needed a message change, but that doesn't change. Like, but again, both things can be true,
yes,
Mac, right?
And they should have fired the GM as well, and they didn't, because they've been at a talent deficit. And so that whole thing happens, right?
Yeah.
And then you look at their draft. A lot of people aren't excited about it. We don't need to get into that.
Right.
Just look at free agency. One of the worst contracts or worst signings in the trade market by most people that they'd say was DJ Moore. You traded a second-round pick, and now you've got to pay him $20 million a year. This is a guy who had 680 yards last year on a really great, booming, explosive Bears offense.
Right.
DJ Moore, their highest paid, supposed to be number one wide receiver, couldn't cut it. 900 yards, under 1,000 the year prior to that. Hasn't had over 1,000 yards since 2023. You just gave a second-round pick and $20 million a year to. So the Bills could be that team.
Could be that team. So you're going to put your money on the Bills to be the worst of the six. I'm going to go, boy, this is a tough one, because I'm looking at two teams, and they're playing in the same game, the Bears versus the Lions.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm not sure where we are. I think the Lions did some good stuff this offseason, it feels like. The Bears are going to be interesting because now they are a team that everybody knows is good, and that changes a lot.
It does.
You know, you're not the team that's getting everybody C effort because you got the Chiefs next week, or you're not getting everybody that's getting the C effort because they're looking at it and they know they're playing on Monday night against the Cowboys. So you get a little bit less of an effort, but now it's the Bears. They went to the playoffs. They know that they're one of the top teams, believe that they're one of the top teams. And your competition now understands that you're one of the top teams in the league. And so the perception is going into that game, you're going to get everybody's best effort now, because what do teams like to do? They like to beat what they perceive to be the top teams in the league. We see it all the time. Everybody plays their best against the Chiefs. Are the Bears good enough now to withstand everybody's best for 17 games? It's going to be interesting to see if they are ready for that challenge. So I'll take the Bears in that one. I don't love my pick there with the Bears, but I'll take them from that reason only on that.
No, that's fair. That's fair. It's a lot of pressure on them. Easy to do it once. Can you do it twice?
Yeah.
Now everyone knows. Everyone knows your tricks.
Everybody's very familiar with what you do.
All really right. Excited about that, though. Going to be a good Thanksgiving.
It is. It is going to be a good Thanksgiving. And I'm glad we do have some good games on Thanksgiving. Oh, do we have another release?
Schultz, just a few minutes ago, the Bengals will host the Ravens on Thursday Night Football in Week 17, New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's cool.
Four straight years, the Bengals have played the Ravens in Baltimore in primetime. This year, the flip is happening. So the Bengals will host the Ravens this time. So, yeah, because I do remember that being complained about a lot. Like, hey, why are we playing the Ravens in primetime four straight years in Baltimore? Now Bengals fans get to host that game New Year's Eve in Cincinnati, Week 17. That'll be a fun one.
Yeah, a New Year's Eve game is a lot of fun.
It's a good one.
Yeah, that is really good. I like that a lot. I think that's going to be good. Is there anything that you're kind of looking forward to with this schedule release tonight? I know we were going to get into some Royal stuff. We'll get into that in the next segment.
Yeah, we can do that next.
And we'll, because there's a lot to talk about with them. But with the schedule release that's coming out tonight, is there something that you're actually looking forward to with the schedule to see where they play this team, where they play that team, what this game holds? Is there something that you're holding out hope to see in tonight? Schedule, because I feel like now that we're playing on Thanksgiving, maybe we're not playing on Christmas, but hell, we played on Thanksgiving and Christmas last year too.
Yeah, exactly. I would not be surprised at all if that's the case again,
right?
Because it's the Chiefs, and we're seeing now Mahomes and Kansas City is still the premier team. If anyone had any questions about that, you can file those away as answered, because we know that they're still going to push Mahomes and push the Chiefs as the premier market and the premier team. And they probably should still to this point. The main thing that I'm going to be looking at is obviously rest, holidays. But yeah, those three games in 11 days, I want to see if we have a stretch like that. And then the away opponents, that's the thing that I'm most concerned with. I think the home record could be awesome. This could be a 7-1, 8-0 type home season. Arrowhead's going to be partying.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think they're going to have to fight for the right that much to party. I think it's going to be that easy. But at away, I mean, again, the division opponents, of course, will provide challenges. And then the Bills, the Bengals, the Rams, the Seahawks. And I'll throw the Falcons in there as a team that's feisty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just a rollover team. I mean, the Dolphins are the one away game that I'm like, yeah, and maybe the Raiders if they end up sucking. So maybe two games out of those nine. Those other seven are going to provide some real challenges. So I'm looking at how they space those out. Is there back-to-back, short weeks for those away games? That's what I'm really looking at.
And as we know, some of these teams that we're talking about right now won't be good during the season when we get an opportunity to play against them. But it still doesn't change the fact of my point here, I think anyway. It's amazing how many teams in the NFL, Mac, have gotten good over the last couple of years. Like, a lot of these teams looked at what the Chiefs were doing and said, all right, enough is enough of getting bullied by these guys and pushed around by these guys. And you just went through the entire schedule of teams that they're going to be playing on the road this year. And every one of them you could make a legit case for being a very good opponent. And that wasn't the case a couple of years ago. This league has now come back to where there are so many really good teams that it's becoming harder and harder by the day to get victories.
Yeah, you're going to have, listen, like, the rest of the league is coming. I think this is a conversation that we could have amongst all sports.
Sure.
The Chiefs could be the last dynasty we see for a while, in my opinion. I think the way all sports are kind of heading, both the way they're structured as far as CBAs are concerned, like when the NBA, super teams are impossible right now in the NBA, unless you draft perfectly like the OKC Thunder have done, like the Spurs are trying to do right now. It's going to be tough to have success for a lot of years in the NBA. Baseball, we know how tough that is, and that's always been that way in baseball.
We'll see what happens at the end of
success.
This year, too, though.
Of course,
you know?
Dodgers are a team that, right, they would be the anomaly there. And then in football, I mean, with the way we've figured out, in my opinion, team building, I just think there's way less mistakes, crucial trades and mistakes by GMs than there used to be, don't you think?
It feels that way, yeah.
Like, it feels like, I mean, we're talking about the Jets and the Raiders and teams who drafted the Titans, who drafted really well this season.
I know.
That's because they're hiring from the Chiefs, Mike Borgonzi over at the Titans, and
right.
You've got the Jets with a new GM. Like, they're starting to maybe learn, and then this may be foolish talk, and we'll play this back in 2 years when the Titans are 2-15 and the Jets haven't won a game in 3 years, whatever
right.
It may be. But still, I think they're learning.
They are. I think the league is starting to
evolving,
become
yeah.
really, really good on all levels. Coming up here, we told you, we got one pitcher that's mad, one caller who's done, and a former GM who gives you some hope next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
All right, this is big, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a big moment happening here. We got another schedule release leak involving the Kansas City Chiefs. Are you ready for this? Drew Nixon's in studio. You know where this is going.
Drew!
Chiefs at Bengals, week 14, December 13th, 4:25. Let's go.
Whoa.
How you feeling about the Bengals getting
Woo.
Beat by the Chiefs that day?
Well, let's hope Joe Burrow is still playing for that game.
Nice. A little self-deprecation there. Nice, Drew.
Yes.
Do you think he'll play in that game or miss the early part of the season this year for Cincinnati?
Well, I would rather he kind of did what he did. If he's going to miss any time, I'd rather him miss the first half of the season, you know?
But yeah,
I think it's great. It's no surprise that I'm guessing it's the CBS game.
It's going to be,
you know, Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. But yeah, I'm hoping that obviously both quarterbacks can be fully healthy and both teams are
Absolutely.
Good because it's still, even though the Bengals have not been in the playoffs the last couple of years, it still feels like the teams hate each other so much that as long as they're fully healthy, it's going to be a good game. We know that, like it was a couple of years ago when the Chiefs won late in that game. But if the division is on the line for either of those teams, if it's a playoff berth potentially on the line, like putting it in that spot makes a lot of sense because of what the Bengals have done. And with Mahomes being back, you would assume the game is going to have some sort of playoff implication for at least one, if not both of those teams. So I like the spot of it. I'm excited for it. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot of trash on our show.
Of course.
Will talk trash to me during that week as well. It's part of the deal.
I can't wait.
I think it's good for it's healthy, though. It's healthy for the NFL to have these rivalries where teams genuinely hate each other. I know because Chiefs fans can say, well, we hate the Raiders. The Raiders aren't good enough to be.
The Raiders are not good enough to hate. Like this is a real hatred rivalry.
Yes.
This isn't like the rivalry with Buffalo where it's well respected. And I think the fans genuinely do like each other on both sides.
I don't like Cincinnati.
I don't like the fans.
All of it.
Yeah. So it's good.
Kiss
we need that.
My ass.
We need it, right? We need that.
Yes, right.
That rivalry.
Yeah.
You know?
It feels like a non-division. It feels like a non-division Packers Bears sort of thing where there's disrespect, there's trash talk. Both teams genuinely don't like each other.
It's like a Steelers Patriots type thing.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, one other Chiefs leak. We got Chiefs at Raiders week 4.
Okay.
4:25 game, October 4th. So the Chiefs and Raiders.
Is Mendoza starting in that one?
No, I don't. They're smart. They're not smart, but if they don't play them all year, that's the best thing.
They can't. That can't be a nooner.
No.
Because it's at Raiders?
At Raiders.
Gotcha. Yeah. So it's got to be 4:25.
They might as well play the game at 10 a.m. Come on.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they should.
Go ahead. Right? 10 a.m. local time?
Yeah. So those are the latest on the Chiefs-related schedule leaks, according to NFL Nerd, who does a great job, you know, with the schedule release. This guy's all over this thing. He must have a friend, as Binkley said about that other guy back in the day. So, all right, you can go about your day. Thank you for coming in, Drew.
Drew, yeah, thank you for coming in. Before you go, just real quick, I've got an 816 number telling me how trash LeBron is and how amazing Kobe is. Can you just tell me where Kobe is roughly in your top 10 all time? Roughly. Ballpark.
Eight.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Thank you, Drew.
And I'm not Skip Bayless where LeBron is nine.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
LeBron
would be higher. What, two or three?
He's two.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Thank you guys for having me.
You got it, Drew. Thank you for being a Cincinnati punching bag here on 96.5.
Yep, Ben.
The Fan. All right, we got a pitcher that's pissed, a caller that's done, and a former general manager that provides us some hope when it comes to this Royals team. So let's work forward, I guess we could say. We'll start where Lugo was yesterday. And I'll say this for Seth Lugo. Since April has ended, since really April 26, Lugo's last four starts, he has a 7.59 ERA. So the frustration is definitely building with Seth Lugo. This frustration is there, and it sure sounds like, based on what he said yesterday, the frustration is now with his manager.
I think we need to, me personally, need to just be a little more conscious of, you know, if I execute a pitch, then be willing to waste a challenge, you know, instead of worrying about getting it wrong and losing one for the hitters. So I think that'd be beneficial.
Do you want to challenge more yourself personally? I know you guys as pitchers have stayed away from that. It's the early part of the season.
I mean, you know, the top part of the zone, it's pretty hard to tell. You know, I knew in the first thing I got at least a couple of them right in my mind, and then I went back and looked and they were all right. So after that, I was challenging when I knew they were there. I did one, but, you know, Diaz got credit for it, but I was ready to go after that. So I think just getting better about, you know, how we're playing the game, you know, the different rules and how much of a difference that makes. I mean, you know, for years, you get one off the plate, and you know it's not there, but, you know, batter can't do nothing. So, you know, if they're going to get us, then we got to get them. So we just got to really, you know, be more strategic with how we use it and, you know, make sure that we know what we're doing out there.
Do you like that it's in the game?
I do, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's – I can think about just about every game I had, you know, good or bad. You know, I think the size of the strike zone was, you know, a contributing factor, so – you know, if we're going to be, you know, more fair and, you know, we're going to have the challenge system, then we got to use it the right way.
We got to use it the right way. It sure sounds like frustration is building now with Seth Lugo over what they're doing when it comes to the challenge system and to the strike zone. And if you have a pitcher right now that is now worrying about that and worrying about challenges, it's time to hit the reset button and figure out what's going on with Seth Lugo, because he's focusing now on something that at the end of the day, he really does not have control over. But maybe this is where Q and the front office need to get together and say, okay, Seth Lugo has been around this game for a very long time. Seth Lugo has seen more baseball and pitched in more baseball games than anybody on this team other than Salvador Perez, most likely, right? And so this guy's got a pretty good feel at what he does. He's a craftsman. He knows the strike zone. Pitchers do, for the most part, guys like Lugo anyway, they know the strike zone. He's an artist out there. He's a perfectionist out there. And so when you have a pitcher that is as good as Seth Lugo and is as accurate as Seth Lugo, and you're not, from listening to those comments, it appears to me, giving him the opportunity to challenge the pitches that he feels are strikes, you're not allowing Seth Lugo to go out there and be the most effective pitcher out there. This is where you have to throw your analytics in the trash and trust the guy that's on the mound on the human side of things. This is a side of things that analytics can't figure out. And so Seth Lugo, maybe you used a challenge in the first half, or the first half, talking football. Maybe if you used a challenge early on in the first or second inning and you get it wrong, you don't have it later. But if you get it right, the whole dynamic of the game could potentially change, because you go from a pitch that was maybe called ball four to strike three, and you find yourself out of that inning, and that ball four does not lead to three runs coming across the plate. You've got to find a way and find a happy medium to allow a guy like Seth Lugo, who's clearly fighting it right now, both in command and wanting to know that he is throwing strikes, but not being given the ability to challenge them. You've got to find a happy medium right now with Seth Lugo, because that to me was a minute and 20 seconds roughly of Seth Lugo dealing with, I don't know what the hell's going on right now. And that's not a good spot for an athlete to be in. He sounds like a very frustrated, confused pitcher when it comes to this challenge system. And that's not something, as a manager, you want your players to have to worry about. You want to take everything away from them. All the stressors, all the detractors, yep. all the negativity. You want to remove that from your guy. There's no analytic number for that, by the way. And you want them to just go out there and focus on pitching. Clearly, Seth Lugo is now focused on other things because he doesn't like the way that it's going from that challenge system. And they're saving the challenges, but what if they use that challenge early on and it prevented three runs from coming across? Did you use your challenge too early? No, you didn't. You used it at the right time. And I think we're falling into maybe that trap. Again, based on what Seth Lugo is saying, of not being able to use our challenges when we're convicted and we feel like we should be able to use our challenges because it's too early in the game and some computer said you don't want to do it until the fourth inning or something like that. I don't know what the case may be, but Lugo and the staff are clearly not on the same page when it comes to these challenges.
Yeah, this is frustration leaking out. This is something that he wouldn't be having to vent about, which is what he's doing.
He's venting.
He's literally venting. Yeah. And he's venting out his frustrations to the media and to national, to all of us, because it's not being heard in the clubhouse.
That's a great point, Mac.
He doesn't feel listened to right now. So he's having to come out and express his frustrations to us.
What a great point by you. I never even thought of it from that angle. He's lashing out, you know, because he feels he's not being heard.
All right, you're not going to listen to me?
Fine, I'll go to the media and I'll tell everybody what's going on. Now you're going to listen to me?
Yeah,
you mark my words. His next start, he's challenging a pitch in that first inning.
I hope so. Because that's exactly, because the next conversation he's having now is, listen, I tried to talk to you guys.
Right.
I need to know that you trust me.
Right.
I'm not Noah Cameron, and I'm Noah Cameron. I'm not trying to dog on him, but
he's a young
pitcher.
Right.
He's a young player. I'm not new kid off the block. I've been here. I've done that. And to your point, he's a craftsman. He paints corners. He's not a velocity guy.
He's a 10-year vet, Mac.
Exactly. So I think he knows where that zone is. So you've got to. Yeah. And so much of and we've talked about it with Cags and Jensen invoking confidence in them against lefties, but invoking confidence in your pitchers and your leaders of the team and say, listen, man, we trust you. We trust your arm. We know your placement. We know your accuracy, and you're going to be great. And that can go so, so, so far. And so this is showing that within the clubhouse right now, there is not good communication. I want to come up with a better word for productive communication going on within that clubhouse right now. And because of that, it's being leaked out and we're seeing lashing out, and I hope right now that they're having a different conversation this morning.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope Lugo and Q and the whole staff are sitting down and they're having conversations about this, because you do need to have conversations about this. But I think, Mac, your point is brilliant, because you're like, I've tried to talk to you about it. I haven't said anything in public yet, but now it's come to the point where I am going to say something in public because I'm frustrated that I'm not being heard. And how many other players are not being heard right now?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because this
makes you think. Exactly.
No, it does, because we had situation.
You're right. Vinny. Vinny's a little bit different, maybe.
Yeah, he took it on himself.
That's on himself.
He's lashing out at himself.
Right,
he wasn't lashing, but Salvi, clearly.
I mean, that is a picture perfect what is not productive communication. I mean, that is two guys not on the same page.
Right.
Q and Salvi right there.
That's
in
exactly
that situation
right.
A couple of weeks ago.
Right. And then Salvi having to go to social media to lash out on this. And now we got Lugo going to the media to lash out on this. So are the players not being heard by management? Because if the players aren't being heard about what they want to do, well, that we're done for the year, because they're just going to go into a shell. You're not listening to me. I'm trying to do this stuff. I'm trying to get you to allow me to call for a challenge early in the game. And if it's going to help me mentally to get that strike instead of that ball, you've got to do that. Again, I know there's no analytical number for that, but you've got to go out there and allow these guys the mental freedom to play baseball. And
yeah.
I don't believe that these guys have the mental freedom to play baseball right now in the Royals.
That can go such a long way. And then I'll also add on to the fact that, just forget the mental side of things, just from a baseball perspective, wouldn't that kind of tell you where the zone's going to be early on? You challenge, and then you kind of, okay, know the way this game's going to be called. You know where the zone's at after you challenge, whether you win or you don't. It kind of gives you more knowledge about the way that rest of the game could go and where your arm's at. Am I wrong? I'm just trying to think about...
No, you're absolutely right. It changes the whole dynamic. Okay, I know, like, I got the high strike now.
Exactly. Right. I'm just kind of thinking, okay, I'm locked in or I'm not. Okay, now I can adjust to where that is early on. And if you don't, and now I'm kind of left in this... I'm confused.
And it's interesting too, Mac, as you're talking, I'm thinking a little bit like where we are with mental health in this country, right? Mm-hmm. And how much stress and not stress, but how much we talk about mental health and we stress mental health in this country, how important mental health is. Sure, to me, seems like baseball isn't focusing enough on the mental side of these guys and what they need to have success. They are so focused on the number side. And that's why, to me, it doesn't work. These analytic teams don't win championships. You have to have a feel for the game. Seth Lugo has a feel for this game. That guy has pitched 10 years in Major League Baseball. He knows what the strike zone is. And if he would have challenged one and he would have won, the mindset on Seth Lugo is completely different. And I bet they win that baseball game yesterday because of it. I really do. Now that I'm hearing all of this from Seth Lugo, you wonder how much of that has been a factor as to why he has a 7.59 ERA over his last four starts as well. So it's crazy.
And Vicky's pissed about the pitch. Yeah. She called in and let Vern know.
This is horrible to watch. I have to turn the game off. Can't watch them lose. I can't see pitchers giving away games when the batters are getting runs. You can't do that. What is wrong with a manager not letting Lynch go? Five innings. Half an inning ain't just going to cut it anymore. I'm paying too much to watch the game.
Yeah.
To have no production from people who were supposed to produce. Am I not correct?
Not sure.
Well, yeah. They're getting paid to do the right job. They can't do it, then say, I can't cut it, so get out of the game.
Let's go, Vicky.
Vicky's not happy.
No, Vicky's upset.
I don't know why she's upset with Lynch yesterday. He didn't pitch.
He didn't pitch. Pitched 2 days ago.
2 days ago. And he only does like about an inning at a time, but that's his job.
I was going to say, I think that's what he does, Vicky.
Yeah, he does that really good, and they're putting him in a situation where he excels. Like, we had HDH where they went one inning and they were really good.
One inning.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm not sure why she's mad at the pitching. I just think it's an overall being upset because the bats have started to, you know, get some runs. You scored five runs again last night. But I think ultimately, Mac, what the real thing is that we need to pinpoint here is that you didn't just lose a baseball game last night. It's not that Lugo's mad or Vicky's mad. What has officially has happened right now is that the Chicago White Sox have now passed you.
Yep.
And they are now a better Major League Baseball team than you are. And Carrington pointed out that the last 2 years, the Royals had 22 wins against the Chicago White Sox alone. Well, now you're 2-4 against the White Sox. They've won four of the first six games against you. Where are you making up those wins? How are you creating more victories? You're not. And so not only are you losing and you're under 500 and your pitcher's mad and the catcher's mad and all this kind of stuff, you're five games under 500 right now, and the Chicago White Sox have usurped you as an organization.
And that goal that we've been trying to reach, that 500 goal, I mean, the White Sox did it yesterday.
Yep, they're a 500 team now.
They're a 500 team now, and they have the chance to be above 500. Thanks to the Kansas City Royals. That hurts your little brother.
Right. And that does. It hurts. It's not supposed to be that way. The White Sox were not supposed to be a better team than you. And so far through six games, they are a better team than you. They're finding those ways to win. They find a way to get a lead. Then the Royals tie it. Then the White Sox fight back. They're showing that fight. They're showing that, the White Sox have arrived. Now, Detroit, Minnesota, Cleveland, all those other teams, you know, everybody else in the division isn't doing all that great right now. I shouldn't say who's in first place right now. Cleveland's in first place right now. Detroit, Minnesota, and the Royals are all with the same record. The White Sox at 21-21 are in second place, but they've got minor leaguers that are going to be coming up soon. They got Kyle Teal that's going to be coming back. There's a lot that's coming to the White Sox that is going to make them considerably better as a team than they are today. I don't see any of that with the Royals. I don't know what players are coming up, what reinforcements are out there, what possible moves are going to be made to make this ball club better just from an internal spot. The White Sox have about three or four guys that are going to be up at the big league level before the end of the year. You look at the Royals minor league system, they don't have that. And so when the White Sox are getting ready to bring up their top talent, we have no top talent to bring up. They're already here, but they're already beating us without some of that top talent.
Without them, yeah.
What does that tell you about the future, too? Because the White Sox are only going to get better. I don't see anybody that's going to help the Royals get better. But Dayton had a good kind of positive spin
on
this.
Yeah, I think part of the reason we're so frustrated, Bob, is because we thought this was going to be better, and there are reasons to believe that it could still be better. As you said, Dayton Moore talked about it.
And I've always said that the key is to have two good months and play around 500 the rest of the way, or one great month and play around 500 the rest of the way. That should get you into the playoffs. And I think a lot of teams are poised to do that. The Royals are certainly poised to do that. I mean, when you look at the Royals, they've got two of the most dynamic players in all of baseball, and Garcia and Junior, at the top of their order. And then they got, you know, guys like Isbell that are having a really, really good year at the bottom that can get on base and hurt you. And then they've got some power and in the middle of that lineup. And those guys will get going. One of my kind of idols growing up, and we worked together with the Braves, was Big Frank Howard. And that might not be a name that a lot of people don't know, but Frank Howard used to say all the time, he'd say about June, those big guys get going. Those power guys start finding their rhythm, and then they'll carry you, you know, the rest of the way.
And you just hope the hole isn't too deep by then.
Well, again, as we've pointed out, and I think Dusty, as he's pointed out when he's here, has been like, well, the rest of the AL is in that hole too. And that gives you that opportunity to still dig yourself out of, because you look at, you mentioned the Guardians 24 and 21, then the White Sox, we said they just reached 500.
Mm-hmm.
Twins, Royals, Tigers, 19 and 24.
Right.
You're even right there, minus five, but you've got to start digging now, because that infamous date of June 1st is approaching.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Fast. You know,
fast.
It's going to be here before we know it. It's 2 weeks away.
Yes.
And
yes.
But it's not just about the division. You know, you got to overcome Baltimore and Seattle and Texas and all these teams that are ahead of you when it comes to the wild card as well. You're in a spot in the wild card where the Twins, the Royals, the Jays, and the Tigers are all tied with the same record, you know? And Boston, who everybody thinks stinks, has one fewer win than the Royals. They have 18 wins. The Royals have 19 wins. And everybody thinks the Red Sox stink. You know? Everybody thinks the Red Sox season is over. They're 18 and 24. The Royals are 19 and 24. And one more thing about the White Sox, too, people forget. They also have the number one pick in this draft, Mac.
Jeez.
So that's an organization to watch out for. And they may have arrived a little bit earlier than most people expected, because now they're better than the Royals. And that's the biggest thing that came out of these first two series with the Chicago White Sox, is that you always thought that was the team you could push around. 22 wins over the last 2 years, Carrington said, against the Chicago White Sox. That was your gift. That gift isn't there anymore.
82 wins last year, 11 of them came against the White Sox. Over 10% of your wins right there against a bad White Sox team. That ain't the case anymore. Where are you getting those wins from?
Yeah, exactly. How are you going to find them? Beating up against the Minnesota Twins, maybe? I don't know.
They're your record.
Yeah, exactly. The Tigers, they're your record as well. The Guardians, they're your record too. I mean, they're everybody's right there in that mix, in that mess. But stop being, as my mother always told me, if everybody was jumping off the bridge, would you?
Mm-hmm.
No, just because everybody else is playing bad baseball doesn't mean you have to. And just imagine if they would have had good baseball. So you didn't have a good April. You're not off to a great start in May. Dayton said you need one good month, right?
One good month.
And then
two good months or one great month.
Right. So you got plenty of time to do two good months. But what is showing you and trending to show you that you can believe that they will play 2 months of good baseball?
I started to see change, and then it went back to the usual, back
right
to the same, to the old, same old, same old. So, no, I don't know. I started to have hope, and I still think the players and the talent are there. Now it's about the execution and the coaching.
Yeah, and maybe they've got the good players, but the wrong system. And that could be very much the case. Like, maybe these are players that aren't analytically driven, that they need more of that human touch side.
Got to know your players,
and man. You got to know your players as well. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, as we roll through a Thursday morning here, we're going to get back at this, because there are some things that are going on Netflix that you need to know about, and I know Mac's really excited. Next.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
All right, back on Thursday, schedule release day in the National Football League. All the leaks are starting to come out. We'll have the full schedule release a little bit later on tonight, and then we'll all know what we're doing and what our fall and early winter is going to look like, at least for Mac and I. I mean, I know that's how we kind of plan our schedules, but I know for a lot of people out there, you guys are the same way, whether you're season ticket holders or just Chiefs fans in general. Everything kind of gets planned around when these games are going to take place. You look at where the bye week is. You look at the night games. You celebrate the noon games. And so over under of 2.5 noon games.
Under.
Oh, okay.
I'll go under.
All right.
We already know we've got the Thanksgiving. Yeah, we know we got the Monday Night Football.
Right.
There's a good chance they get Christmas. There's going to be five primetime games, at least for the Chiefs.
Yeah, we already know the Bengals and Raiders are at 325.
So now I've already got over half the schedule I know is not at noon.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a good number, one, because last year wasn't it two?
I think it was.
I think it was two was last year. So that's a solid number. I'll stick with the under. And if it's over, man, it's not going to be more than three probably.
Right.
Too bad, man. I'd love four or five.
Be great. But I don't think that's going to happen. No. So we'll get that schedule release in full a little bit later on tonight. We do know if you don't, and everybody waking up this morning, kind of finding out at the same time, just like we did this morning, the Chiefs will be at the Buffalo Bills on Thanksgiving night for that final game of Thanksgiving Day. Bears and Packers is headed to Netflix for Christmas Day. So the Bears and Packers are playing on Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry, the Bears and Lions. Bears and Lions on Thanksgiving. Packers are playing the day before Thanksgiving against the Rams. And so now you're going to have the Bears and Packers in Chicago on Christmas Day.
Damn. So, yeah, they're really
pumping the Bears,
They're pumping the Bears big time. And they're pushing that NFC North, which you and I would agree with. I mean, that NFC North should be pushed. We don't know who's going to win. There's so many storylines, whether it be coaching, quarterbacks, defenses. So many fun drama stuff to look at when you look at the NFC North. So, yeah, I'm glad they're pushing the Bears. I mean, Caleb Williams is kind of the new hot kid on the block.
Right. So we'll see how they do, too. That's the other thing. You know, are the Bears going to live up to the hype that's being bestowed upon them? Because now you're basically getting the Chiefs treatment from a year ago. You know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Monday night, all these random things. The Chicago Bears are one of the teams that the NFL is pushing out on the schedule this year. So we'll wait and see how it all comes out a little bit later on today. You are very upset, I would imagine, at all of this, right?
No.
No, you're not.
No.
You're very excited about this.
I love this.
Okay, even with a backup quarterback on this thing.
Absolutely.
Because I am more excited about watching the backup quarterback this year than I am the starters that are going to be in season three of the quarterback. Season two, I don't even really remember who was in season two because after Mahomes I guess Kirk Cousins was in season
he
two
was in
as
season
well.
Two, yeah.
So Mahomes,
it,
Cousins, and
was it Goff in season two maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah, it was Goff and Burrow. That was it. Yep, Goff and Burrow and Cousins last year. And this year, we're getting four quarterbacks for season three of the quarterback on Netflix. Jaden Daniels, which I love. Talk about pressure, talk about question marks. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield, same thing. Starter, Bucks. Can they win the NFC South again? And then Cam Ward, number one pick last season. Titans, new coach, new wide receiver. A lot of as far as the hype train is concerned, and you're going to see a lot of graphics of like, ooh, what could this team do? And it's going to say all these players that haven't played a game yet, but they just have fun names that we know because we talked about them for the last 4 months. The Titans lead that kind of race right now.
Yeah.
Carnell Tate, oh my gosh, all of it is. And then Joe Flacco, as you mentioned, the backup is in the season three of quarterback. I love this pairing. I think this is awesome.
Is Flacco back in Cincinnati?
No.
Or is he... He's not in Cleveland,
is
right?
Is he? Yeah, he is. Cincinnati.
Okay.
So that's funny, yeah. So we'll get a little bit of Joe Burrow, I guess, again, through Joe Flacco. But yeah, I'm excited to see Flacco, I guess, is kind of our Kirk Cousins of this year. Backup, trying to make it out, family guy. And then, yeah, Jaden Daniels is your star. And then Baker and Cam are kind of your wild cards. One of those two hopefully kills it this year. The other one will have great storylines that we can follow. I don't need a Allen, Burrow, Mahomes to really like this show.
Right.
I mean, like, I'm not watching football when I watch this show. I don't need them to perform well.
But like, you also want them to be, though, engaging. You know,
that's true. I need good personality.
Yeah, you do. You that's need true. A good personality.
And we got that with Baker. Joe Flacco is at least good in front of the camera. I don't know not much about Jaden and Cam. That'll be fun.
Who do you think of those four? And obviously Flacco can't really be part of this because he's a backup. But of the three starters, which one do you think is going to have the best year?
I'm really hot on Cam Ward.
Okay.
I really like Cam Ward. I like Cam Ward the most out of these quarterbacks. I think Jaden Daniels, I think, is going to be good this season. I think my biggest question mark with Jaden Daniels and the Commanders is you look back at that rookie season, because I was doing some deep dive nerd stuff the other day, just looking at what happened with Jaden Daniels, what happened his rookie season, trying to figure out, okay, what do I actually think about him? I will say I'm a little bit more skeptical on him and his talent when I look at what happened in their rookie season. Do you remember they were 19 of 23 on fourth down his rookie season?
Wow.
Doesn't happen. That's not a thing that happens. And they were 7-0 in one score games.
Okay.
Doesn't happen. And then you see what happens this last season.
I mean,
so
the
now,
Chiefs are a prime example of
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. It comes back to normal. And so now I'm wondering, okay, Jaden, we saw the seesaw 1 year this year. All right, what's the normalcy look like for Jaden Daniels? So yeah, big year for him, and I think it'll be fun to kind of watch him. He's got a good personality too. He's got
sure he does. I hope his mom's featured a lot too.
I'm sure she will.
She's
be.
Awesome, and I love her. I mean, she is a fantastic mom. She's protecting her son. It's a lot of fun to watch that dynamic. So I do hope that she is involved. Which quarterback has the most pressure on them of that list? It has to be Jaden Daniels.
It has to be Jaden Daniels.
Because if he doesn't have a good season, then we're talking about a guy who's a bust, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
a one-year wonder kind of thing. RG3,
right?
Yeah.
You're in that category. I don't know necessarily that I want to be in that category with Jaden Daniels. I want him to do well. I'm excited for Baker to finally be able to get out there and put his personality out there for a lot of people to see. I think that's going to be good as well. Cam Ward, I think of the four of these, again, not counting the backup quarterback, but I think Cam Ward, he's basically a rookie again. And the reason I say that is because you've got new coaches, new coaching staff. Everything is new around Cam Ward. He had two coaches already. And this is his third NFL head coach in his second season. Think about that. And think about how difficult that is for a quarterback. You, in less than a year, have had three bosses, right?
Yeah.
And three different, probably, ways of doing things.
Yes.
And so now Cam Ward is basically starting over, and he needs to go into this camp and pretend he's just a rookie again. Nothing that he did last year matters because the system's completely different. Think about that, man.
That's a lot to handle, and when you're talking about a guy who didn't necessarily have a bunch of college games either, newer to and more raw just in general. So now he's got a lot to learn, and he'll have a lot of question marks. This is some breaking news from Yahoo Sports about World Cup halftime show. This is the
halftime show.
This is the first halftime show at the World Cup final on July 19th at MetLife Stadium. Your headliners for the halftime show: Shakira, BTS, and Madonna.
Okay.
Yeah, they will headline the first halftime show at World Cup final on July 19th over at MetLife Stadium. Shakira, BTS, which is like that K-pop group.
Oh, okay.
They're like,
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, a bunch of Korean.
You got a lot, three different genres in there, three different age groups. I mean, Madonna's for me.
Yeah, Madonna's for you.
BTS is for you.
No.
Get bent.
I'll take Shakira, please.
Yeah,
please and thank you.
No, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah,
no, that's fun. I think you're right. The three generations, three different styles of music. I mean, you got to have a broad reach here.
Yeah,
the World Cup.
It is. All right, another schedule leak as well. Eagles and Cowboys, Week 7, Monday Night Football.
Damn. So do we know? Is that the first? Yeah, it's just other NFC East games that we know. Okay, gotcha. Week 7, Monday Night Football,
and then they play again on Thanksgiving. So. You get them two games in the middle of the season for what I think most people probably consider the two top teams in the NFC East as of right now, until Harbs is 17-0. All right, Matt, good job out of you today. Coming
you
up
too.
Tomorrow, Frank Caliendo will be in for an hour. We'll talk to Josh Briscoe, Jay Binkley as well. We break down the schedule. Alex, Cody, and Drew are all next here at 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, The sports media podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.